It's Thursday, March 27th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show number 936, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All of my specials are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. I've got a great show lined up for you tonight. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And I've got a whopper of a show for you tonight. I've got a story to tell you that is going to absolutely blow your mind. And it's all about a company that within a span of 3 hours lost my business pretty much forever. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but I'm going to give you guys a warm welcome, and again, got a great show lined up for you here. Hard to believe we're almost at the end of March, and 9:36 on the March to 1,000 shows. So glad you're here again. Hey, again, we want to make sure that you get subscribed, and really to do so, all you got to do is visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. And really subscribe to the show right on the website. You'll find a link on the website as well for the newsletter. Get signed up for the newsletter so you never miss a single episode. Basically, the newsletter is going to be blasted out to you immediately following the show. We'll have all the links to all the content I'm going to cover tonight and be a reminder that the show's up and available. Of course, we want you to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. That's really important as well. That way, it's there on demand whenever you want to utilize it. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, there's no more hotline, but you can leave a comment via the website. There's a link on the website to leave an audio comment. If you so please, feel free to do so. That is available for you 24/7. You can follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook. Links will be up in the show notes. So all you got to do is go over there and get hooked up. And if you're one of our insiders and you want to be on our insider mailing list, email Sam at insider@geeknewscentral.com. If you're really into the show and you really want to get hooked up, you can watch us on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast. All you got to do is just kick back and get the Tech Podcast channel loaded. And you'll find my show in there in the news section of those applications on those set-top boxes. Or just come to the website and click play. That's the easy way as well. All right, of course, the show tonight is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And tell you, they've just knocked it out of the park. They continue to deliver incredible deals for all of you. And, of course, the $295.com is one of the big deals going right now. And but we've got a host, I mean, absolute stockpile of codes for you to use at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you can just get there real quick by coming over to the website and clicking on the GoDaddy link as well on the page. You'll see it on the second column. But all these codes, 32% off a new purchase, $25 off your order, including the new top level domain names, 50% off a hosting plan with a free domain, 50% off the first 12 months of business website builder with a free domain. Again, the $295.com, of course, more importantly, is the new Found product. Be found online if you're a business person. You know, right now, customers are searching for you in your local community, and we want them to continue to find you in every avenue possible. So get found and work with GoDaddy, and they'll get you everywhere. and get 10% off on that product by using the promo code FOUND5. So all the codes are on the website. So definitely get over there and utilize them to the best of your ability and share them with your friends. Experiment. If you get a discount, like, you know, I've got some server stuff going on, buying some new servers, and those are huge. And I can use that 32% off code on a server. You know, you're talking about $1,000. That's like $320 off. And, you know, that that's huge when you're picking up a new product. So don't forget our Go 20 off 2. Again, Go 20 off 2. It's good for renewals. But those are available for you to use that. So again, all the codes are on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Use them and share them. Tell your friends about them. Buy your friend a domain, buy your friend a hosting account. You know, at the prices that they're available at, you know, five for all, my friends. But anyway, thanks GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and putting together some incredible deals for all of you to utilize and saving money when you're picking up a domain name or a hosting account or server or virtual dedicated server or whatever product you may be picking up over there at GoDaddy. So anyway, let's just talk a little bit here. This coming Saturday for the new media show, it's just going to be Rob and I. We kind of decided just kind of wrap it down and have a time to kind of talk and get caught up. Instead of having a guest on board, we're just going to cover some topics at hand. It's going to be a great show. So if you want to join us on Saturday, you can do so at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, or if you're here in Hawaii, 6 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time. Yes, that means I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to bring this show to you. So don't tell me I'm not going the extra mile, because I am. Again, the insiders, reach out to Sam at insider@geeknewscentral.com. Again, if you just want to just reach out to me on the show and send an email, that's real easy to do so. Oops, as well, by drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, I want to talk just a little bit. Again, show 1,000. I've had a couple of people email me directly and said, Todd, I'm interested in coming to Hawaii for your 1,000th show. So we've got a couple. Let's see where this can lead. Should be a lot of fun. And I'll get you some dates, some tentative dates here in a couple of days. And we can kind of decide whether or not we get enough people to make in a big event, or if it's just going to be a little local event. But I'd like to have you all here, as many of you possible here, for show 1,000 in Hawaii. Come for a vacation. Hang out with your favorite geek. You know, spend some money here as a tourist. Well, and I'm going to give you the local kind tour, so you're going to want to come out. So definitely consider it for show 1,000. Again, initial planning. We'll see where this leads as time goes on. All right, I want to share with you a little bit of a, I guess for better or worse, story. And one that did not end well, and is continuing not to end well. So yesterday morning, 5 o'clock, I get out of bed, come into the studio here. Studio's dark, load up email, clicking through, and I see that the folks at Netica, and Netica is the company that I have used really for a long time to do DNS for a lot of my domains. And why? It's just easy. I can set up a DNS account with a domain literally in like 30 seconds. I mean, it was really, really simple. I could have been using the DNS system at GoDaddy, completely capable. Take a little bit longer to set up. So I had everything set up on Netica. And close to, I have a lot of stuff going on. So I had probably close to 50, 60 domains over there that are all mapped out and set up, running smoothly, no issues, multi-home, multi-dentist centers. And I find out that morning that Netica.com was being acquired by Dyne, or had been acquired by Dyne.com. Now, you guys know that Dyne.com has been a sponsor here before, a little over a year ago, and we talked about their products and services, and they've got a great lineup of products and services, and I really had no issue with anything that they're offering. I've got a couple of things over there that I have utilized. I've got some domains there. I've got some redirect stuff. Really, I use their product, but not on a big scale, not with a lot of domains. So this is about 5:30 in the morning, right? So I thought, oh man, what's this going to mean? You know, do I mean I'm going to have to switch to Dyne? You know, and I thought, I'm not going to worry about that today. I got a lot going on. And let me go ahead and just continue with my business. Because I'm figuring they're going to send an email saying what the transition plan is, what we're going to have to do, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I'm in a conference call, and my phone starts buzzing because someone else is trying to call me. I look at it, and it's a number I don't recognize. It's about 3 hours later. And so I get off the conference call, and the person had left a voicemail. And so I load the voicemail up, and it's this guy, Justin, from Dyne. He's, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm your rep, and you want to talk to you, you know, I know you're a loyal customer of Netica, and we know that Dyne has acquired Netica today. And I'm thinking to myself, man, they aren't wasting no time to get on the phone and call me. You know, like, wow, that's interesting. And then I get an email. And so, hey, Todd, this is email again. I just left you a voicemail a few minutes ago. You and I have never spoke before, so I wanted to reach out and introduce myself. I understand you're a loyal customer of Netica, and recently, Netica was acquired by Dyne. 3 hours ago was the announcement, right? So this is the email that's coming in. I want to hop on the phone with you and discuss some of our managed DNS platform options and see how we can best help you moving forward. What's a good time to connect? Best, Justin. And my reply to them is, you guys do not waste any time. Pretty incredible, actually. I go on to say, I'm happy with the current service at Netica and do not want additional services at this time. If your prices increase on the Netica product line, I'll leave your service. You don't screw up what has been a good thing, Todd. So I get a reply back from Justin. He says, hey, I understand. I wasn't looking to scoop you off something that has been suiting your needs. When the time comes to make the switch, I want to make sure you're taken care of in the best way possible. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, done with this guy, right? And then comes the email. Just so we're on the same page, you will have to move your services. However, there are many different packages that you can utilize. Please let me know when you have a few minutes to talk. So he tells me in one email that he doesn't want to scoop me off anything, and when the time comes to switch, that you can take care of me the best way. That was good, but he follows up with this acidine response. I mean, almost immediately says, just so we're on the same page. No, we're not on the same page. You have to move your service. However, there are many different packages. And I'm like, I don't want to move. I just paid for a year, like 2 weeks ago. So I have to say, so this is my response. I'll have to move, ? I just paid for my year of service, and I have no plans to move. I assume this is going to require a lot of updates and changes. This is something I don't want to have to screw with right now. It is apparent that Netica customers are going to get screwed. There was a reason why we're on Netica and not Dyne in the first place. The net is basically a lot cheaper. Then as I'm talking about this acquisition this morning, and your corporate PR people better get the message out to Netica folks in a hurry. This thing's going to go bad on you. I'm already pissed, and I was pissed. You should allow the Netica folks to stay on the same platform we are now. I have no desire nor the time to allocate to a transition now. He goes, I'm not trying to be aggressive. I promise. I'm trying to be a nice guy and help you move to Dyne, as Netica will be shutting off in a month. I understand you just paid for your service, and we'll make the transition smooth and easy. Only thing that may happen, depending on your current scope, is the price will increase. That's why I need to understand your current scope so that I can put you into the appropriate package and keep you as happy as possible. Netica customers will be taken care of with the best service possible. So in no way, shape, or form are we going to screw anyone over. You have my word. I'm just here to help. No, you're telling me I have to move and I have to pay more. That's what you're telling me. I didn't read his email for about 6 hours. I had to calm down. And this is my response. Justin, no need for further communications. I'll be moving my primary domains to another service and canceling my service. I have a number of domains where the register GoDaddy can handle the DNS just fine, and we'll move those back over there. I'll move my failover services to Route 53 on Amazon. You know, and I go on and say, you take over a company, and immediately you raise prices on the customers and force us to move. Based looking at your website, my bill would triple at least. Only giving customers a month to move is criminal. Now remember, they said before in the earlier email, I understand I wasn't trying to look and scoop you off something that has been suiting your needs. When the time comes to make the switch, I want to make sure you're taken care of. He didn't say anything about 30 days in the email. He replied to my email, I mentioned you before. I would be able to have one of our reps work closely with you on price. I'm sorry we couldn't work together, and I understand your concerns. If you decide you'd like to have a discussion, I'll be here. Until then, the best of luck moving forward. So they bought a company, and within 3 hours, they're upselling me to move to their service. Dyn's a great company, but they blew it on this messaging. Did I overreact? Maybe. Maybe I overreacted. But I get a message in the morning saying, we're done. We bought this. And then 3 hours later, phone's ringing and they're emailing saying, hey, everything's fine. You're good. And they come back. You have to be moved in a month. I was simply pissed. And I'm still mad. And I don't care. Be honest with you, at this point, I will probably, if it costs me more to have it somewhere else, I'll just go somewhere else. But I'm going to move the majority of it back to GoDaddy. They can handle it just fine. You know, the only reason I did it with Netica before was they had templates and it just made it was faster. Now I deal with a lot of domains. Most people don't. Most people have one. They set up their DNS on GoDaddy and they're done. They don't, you know, it's a 15-minute job, you know, at the most on a single domain to set up DNS. Maybe 10 minutes, you know. But for me, I'm dealing with a lot of domains, a lot of servers. And maybe I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know. But, you know, it really makes me question what's going on over there. I have never, ever in my entire time of doing this show hesitated from blasting a company that's been a current or past sponsor based upon some actions that they have done. And obviously, if Dyn comes to me and wants to sponsor the show again, I'm going to have to really take some consideration of that. You know, because this, and maybe this, you know, maybe they're under, this, these folks are under marching orders. Get the 10,000 or 100,000 or how many customers are on Netica now and get them moved. You know, 30 days, got to get, you know, 10,000 customers moved. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. Especially when you got to change name servers, you got to, you know, all this stuff that and to do a DNS change, it's a very methodical transition. You just don't, if you screw it up, people are going to go geeknewscentral.com and guess what they're going to come to? Nothing. Because it won't resolve correctly. So I took about an hour and set up like the first 5 domains back on GoDaddy. And over time, over the next week, so I'm going to have to spend a bunch of time dealing with this because this guy pissed me off. And maybe I took it wrong. You know, maybe I should have expected it. There's nothing, you know, a company buys a company. There's nothing to say they have to keep their policies in place. But you know what they should have done? They should have grandfathered me for the year. You know, I have a contract. I'm good. I've got a contract. You know, I've got a service. You know, okay, hey, we're going to transition you. Same price for the next year. We're going to help you move. You know, you're not going to have to pay anymore. And then next year, there'll be a decision point whether you want to have to upgrade or whatever we're going to have to do. That would have been the right thing to do. Oh, no. They got to go to... See, I paid a one-time charge to Netica. And believe me, great price. And maybe that's why they got bought by Dyn. Maybe they weren't charging enough. But this service was fantastic for DNS. And for those of you that said, what's DNS? Domain name server. So when you basically type in my.com, it goes to your ISP, to their name server, and it looks me up, just like in a telephone book, and says, Todd's Geekness Central is at this IP, and it sends a little message back to your browser, and off you go. And as soon as it hits my server knows how to direct the traffic through basically a virtual host in Apache, and it basically says, oh, that's Geekness Central that goes down this slot here and load the web page. Well, if your stuff in the address book isn't right or slow, it can be performance delays. And we don't want that. So I'm going to move some of the critical stuff over to Route 53 on Amazon. Cost me 50 cents a domain plus traffic to do it over there. So, you know, you're thinking about, okay, so where's the price break at? And I can basically, in the way I'm doing my math in my head, because I'm going to move a bunch of stuff back to GoDaddy, because there's a bunch of domains that I didn't need to have on Netica. I'm going to move my stuff back to GoDaddy, and I'm going to move whatever I want to put on Route 53 on Amazon, and my bill, my annual bill, is actually going to go down by probably $75 or $80. Not a lot, but that's $80 in my pocket to pay power bill instead of paying someone else. So, and probably, in certain instances, a little more higher reliability. I don't know. Time will tell. But what do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback on my little conversation with the Dyn team. Did I overreact? Maybe. But boy, it probably was a combination of me getting out of bed on the wrong side, being overwhelmed with stuff to do, and then getting, you know, and you just, you know, send me even you go to their website now. There's nothing in there that says you got 30 days. There's nothing that talks about a timeline. Talks nothing about when they're going to shut down. So that their communication, if they had to come out with an email, say, hey, we've been acquired, and for all Netica customers, we're going to transition you over the next 30 days or 45 or 60 to get you moved on to the, if they would have told me the roadmap from the very beginning and been forthcoming, I wouldn't have been so pissed. I would probably be transitioning to Dyn and maybe paying a little more. But no, they're trying to be sneaky in their communication, in my opinion. And I don't like that at all. None of us do. And maybe this guy's a young sales rep, who knows? But he really, just the sequence and timing just really struck me wrong. Okay, let's go ahead and I'll get on with that. geeknews@gmail.com. And Justin, if you're listening to this, that's kind of was my mindset. And if the Dyn PR people are listening to this, you know, maybe I'm the only one, but maybe you ought to come up with a PR strategy and have your corporate communication people talk a little more about to the Netica customers. But, you know, I am already a Dyn customer. I do have some services over there, you know. So let's be a little, let's, you know, not beat around the bush. So I hope you're watching and just get my perspective. And I'm sure everyone, all the other Netica customers are absolutely happy. Not what I'm reading on Twitter. So anyway, let's move on and get into the other tech of the day, because there is some pretty incredible news. Hey, if you're a podcaster and you're looking for media-only hosting of your show, consider bringing your media hosting over to blueberry.com. Use a promo code GEEKNEWS for one free month of hosting over there, okay? All right, let's go ahead and charge forward. I spent some time on that. I just had to vent. Haven't had a good vent like that in a while. But man, big news today. We knew it was coming. Microsoft has made Office for iPhone and Android completely free. Now, there's some caveats with that. And let me get some pages ready here. I mean, Tech Meme was just slammed today, 100% talking about this move. And so basically what they've done is Microsoft Office mobile apps for Android and iPhone are now completely free for all home users. The company's done away with the need for an Office 365 subscription, opening up the full document viewing and editing capabilities of each app. Now, this is a clever move, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be using this, but let's be honest. Most of us don't want to edit on our mobile devices. And again, the free Office apps are intended for home use, and according to Microsoft's update notes, which implies that the company may still plan to hold businesses that to that Office 365 requirement, it's going to be pretty hard to enforce. But, you know, employees can just simply install the software on their personal phones and use it for work purposes. And probably it's one of the reasons why that they're doing this. Now, the iPad offering is a little bit, it looks to me like there's a little delta here. So Microsoft is selling Office 365. Now, let me, within iPad apps, and the Apple's getting 30% of its cut. So if you load Microsoft Word for iPad, you can install it and you can view, but I believe you still have to have the Office 365 to edit at $99. So I haven't downloaded it yet. I've been looking at the screenshots. Absolutely beautiful. They did a great job with the interface. Everything looks really nice. And boy, I tell you, about time, Microsoft, really. And even Apple's Tim Cook congratulates Microsoft on Office for iPad launch. And you know what they're really doing is they're going, hoo-hoo, $30 per sale from Microsoft. Ha-ha, we've got them. We've got them. Hoo-hoo. That's what they're doing. They're of course, It's like ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. The old cash register, ding, 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 over there at Apple. And it's get back time. And so, of course, they're all smiles and yay, yay, we're friends again. So, anyway, iPad version of Office, PowerPoint, everything, Excel. And, you know, there's a good article, and actually let me bring this up and show it to you. The folks that did probably the best coverage today, I think, is the folks over at Engadget. They really did a nice review, and got some nice screenshots. We got getting started, talks about the UI, talks about the interface for Word, Excel, talking about PowerPoint, so forth. So, and they also talk about the competition. So I think Microsoft has done a nice job. A little late to the party here, but, you know, it's a tool everyone's used to using. You know, corporate America uses Microsoft Office. And, you know, while a lot of people are using Google Docs, me included, you know, I still, right, I'm in Word, you know, half the day, Excel a lot, because, you know, only so much that Google Docs spreadsheet can do. But, you know, it's really what boils down is that it isn't, the Microsoft Office for iPad isn't perfect, but it's really what we all been waiting for a long time. And we'll see. We'll see how this all turns out. But it looks pretty nice seeing the screenshots with Excel and PowerPoint and Word as an app on these on the iPad, which is just, in my opinion, outstanding. So congratulations to Microsoft for joining the iPad, iOS, Apple evolution. And for those of you on Android as well, you're already have access to most of it. So very, very cool. Okay, there's a this next article is going to creep you out. So imagine your employer says, come into the office and sit down. We have some questions for you. You get into the office and you sit down, and there's a computer sitting there. And you can't see the computer screen. You see the back of it, but on the other side of it is a camera. And you basically tell you, okay, look straight forward, please. And they ask you, did you steal the toilet paper out of the supply closet? And you're like, no. And with an 85% of accuracy, a new system called iDetect is going to be able to tell if you are lying to your boss by just looking at your eyes. Now, eye-based lie detection has long been the stuff of research and science fiction, but Converis is releasing iDetect, a hardware and software combo that helps companies find out if their workers are on the level. The system revolves around an SMI-made camera that monitors pupil dilations as well as the positions of the eyes and head. If you look shifty when answering questions, your supervisor will likely know within minutes. It's not a perfect system, they're saying. Converis claims 85% accuracy, which could allow for an occasional false positive. So, it's not launching in the United States yet. It's launching in Mexico first. But you can absolutely be guaranteed that corporate America is going to have this, probably their HR, probably investigators in a company will be using this type of stuff to get basically read body language, right? So very, very interesting on where this is going. No longer will they have to hook you up to a lie detector system. They just have to look at your eyes. You know, you can always answer the question, no, I didn't. Close your eyes and say, no, I didn't take the toilet paper out of the storage room. Keep them closed. But I guess closing your eyes and answering the question is it's like taking the fifth. Oh, man, funny stuff. All right, over on Reuters, Senate panel plans to make losers pay for frivolous patent lawsuits. U.S. senators seeking to curb frivolous patent litigation plans to add a loser pays amendment into a bill that many believe has a good chance of becoming law. So the change would require parties that lose lawsuits to cover the winner's legal bill. So what happens if you're the company that's getting sued and you lose and you have to pay the patent fine and then you got to pay the millions of dollars of the patent company's attorney fees? That could just, it's going to make it even harder. They got to make it so that the person that's bringing a lawsuit to bear, if he loses, he pays. If he wins, he pays his own. But Patrick Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said in a committee meeting on Thursday that he and other senators plan to amend a bill introduced in November to send a strong signal that patent trolls who pursue lawsuits with no reasonable basis should pay reasonable attorney fees. Now, they think, the patent trolls think they have a reasonable basis, but some of them do go fishing. You know, they go fishing, and there's not a lot of that they have to do to, you know, prove a patent infringement, even how ridiculous some of them are, because most of these North Texas, basically these patent court proceedings don't go well for the companies that are going in there fighting. Now, we'll see where this leads, but we'll see how the language goes, but it could be a double whammo if you're the company involved. I want to talk just a little bit again about Verizon and AT&T. This is a whopper of a statement. Verizon, the U.S. is so competitive, it doesn't need net neutrality laws. This is about mobile. Now, if you recall, Verizon worked very closely with Google to help draft the FCC's net neutrality rules, which, as a result, contained massive loopholes and didn't really cover wireless. Now, that not being good enough for Verizon, the company then, now remember, they helped draft them, then they sued the FCC over the rules and won. Now, while the rules were vacated, the courts did allow the FCC to regulate broadband, come back with some new rules. But Verizon is saying, given the exceedingly competitive and dynamic nature of the mobile wireless market, the absence of any demonstrated harm relating to mobile broadband practices, and the enormous welfare gains that the marketplace is conferring upon consumers, the commission should avoid prescriptive regulations that will be outdated as soon as the ink is dry. Now, I'm sure Verizon users could probably rattle off a laundry list of examples of where Verizon was the abuser and of the gatekeeper, being the abuser or the gatekeeper. I know that my phone, my Verizon phone, there, you know, sometimes it drives me absolutely. I will say one thing. I think AT&T's data services are better than Verizon's based on recent experience. So, you know, they have no, at least in my area where I'm using my phone, they're not improving the service at all. It's not better. It's spotty at best. So, you know, now jump in here with, did I skip the link? Oh, no. Let me find this here. I want to make sure I covered this. Crap. Okay, here we go. So next up is AT&T basically saying, no. Take this under consideration. AT&T pulled in a staggering $128.8 billion in revenue in 2013. The company's operating income for the full year totaled more than $30 billion. But according to the company's mobile boss, the extra capacity needed to deliver popular services over the internet to its customers, an expense AT&T should not have to bear. You made $128.8 billion. The company's operating income was $30 billion. They won't want to pay for upgrades to the infrastructure. They want companies like Netflix to do that. Yet you, the AT&T customers, are paying them for a service that they apparently don't have enough money to deliver adequately. AT&T Mobility Chief Ralph D. La Vega suggested that picking up the tab for additional costs of streaming Netflix video to AT&T subscriber is not an option. The only two viable options, it seems, are for everyone to pay or for Netflix to pay. We have to provide additional capacity, and so the only question is who should pay for that addition? Should everyone pay for it, or should Netflix? When asked if charging heavy internet users more than other users was a viable option, the executive was quick to make it clear that AT&T does not intend to implement that model as a solution for the capacity consumed by services like Netflix. The pricing models for the customer should be separate from the backbone. The backbone is your cost of doing business. Please, if you're a fan of the show, please tweet, blog. You need, because this is what's going to happen. They are going to be like the mafia. Give me some money or you're not going to have any business here. Come on. Every week, give me some green. Give me some green and we'll let you have some business. Okay, thank you, Netflix. And then they go over to Amazon. Hey, Amazon, give me some money. Hey, Roku. Hey. Now, we charge Netflix, we charge Amazon. Give me some money. Oh. Hey, Mr. Podcaster. Give me some money or your podcast is not going to go through. Hey, YouTube. Come on. Hey, Google. Where does it end? It doesn't. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. You know, I've been on a roll here on this for a while. They're becoming public enemy number one with me. So, what do you say about that? All right, let's switch topics here. Google, boy, a UK regulator has approved Microsoft ad that claims Google scans every word of your emails, while Redmond only scans them for viruses and spam. So the UK has basically said that, yes, Google, you can run an ad called Scroogle. And it basically, the ad is, in the beginning, Google preached, don't be evil. But that changed in May 31, 2012. That's when Google Shopping announced a new initiative. Simply put, all of their shopping results are now pay ads. In their under-the-radar announcement, Google admits that they've now built a purely commercial model that delivers listing ranks by bid price. And it goes on and on and on. Talks about how they're indexing everything in our email. So they're going to be allowed to run this Scroogled or Scroogler ad in the UK. Kind of an interesting win for Microsoft. They get a little shot across the ball. All right, talking about the folks at Roku, the Roku streaming stick has shipped. Roku's new streaming stick is now shipping in the United States online from Roku, Amazon, Best Buy, Target, Walmart. A few other outlets have now reported the news, but I happen to hear the information via a conference that was announced. Basically, the word's on the street. So, new stick is $50. You want one? Send an email to insider@geeknewscentral.com and tell them that you want a new Roku stick. And one of our lovely listeners or viewers is going to win one. Sam will take your entries and forward them to me. Again, insider@geeknewscentral.com if you want to win a $50 Roku streaming stick. I'm going to order one for myself anyway, so we'll order two and get one to one of you. So feel free to basically try to win something here. Good luck. Now, imagine you have a teenager. She's not happy. She comes home, talks about teacher's aide on Facebook, you know, telling her friends, I hate that teacher's aide. You know, everyone has a teacher at school they don't like, right? And, you know, so the school gets wind of it, and the school says, give me your email password. Give me your Facebook password. Let me have this. Well, in that incident, what has happened is she had her rights violated, and she went to the ACLU represented her, and the school has settled with her and offered $70,000 as part of a settlement. So it goes to prove that if you work in the Department of Education, in your school, you better not be asking your students for their password to their Facebook or email account. You may just cost your school $70,000 or more. And this happened in 2011, so it took a little while for this to make it through. But I guess she's got a couple of years of college paid with this settlement. I guess it pays to complain. Switching to New Zealand, Kim.com is getting political. He basically is forming a political party in New Zealand, and it's ahead of the country's general election in September. It's called the Internet Party. It's a movement for the freedom of the internet and technology for privacy and political reform. .com commented at a press conference in advance of the launch. According to the party's website, its aim is to give you faster, cheaper internet, create high-tech jobs, protect your privacy, and safeguard our independence. Other agenda items include copyright reform, creating a secure digital currency in New Zealand, and the Internet Party even has an app for that. So, anyway, if you can't beat him, join him and then tear it apart from within. That's what he's doing. So we'll see if he actually runs for an office. Don't know. He's got some legal issues. I don't know if that's even possible, but who knows the laws down in New Zealand. The Turkish government has banned YouTube following an attempt to remove corruption videos. So, you know, Turkey's, they're just losing their minds. So the Turkish government has added YouTube to its list of banned websites. And it's also included Twitter, as we talked about before. Wow. You know, block, you know, people are still going to get the word out. Videos are still going to go up on the internet. You can't stop this stuff. You really, really can't. Now, if you're a gadget junkie just like I am, Western Digital has unveiled a truly portable Thunderbolt drive for performance freaks. And so this is pretty cool. My Passport Pro, the first dual Thunderbolt storage drive, takes its power solely from Intel's high-speed port. So let's see, what's going to be the price on this bad boy? It's going to be, if you're $300 with 2 terabytes of capacity, $430 for a 4 terabyte drive, this big, about the size of a deck of cards. 4 terabytes, $430 via Thunderbolt. So those are available. I'll have the link up in the show notes on that for you. Hey, next week is a big week. Amazon Video Box. I'm definitely going to order one immediately. I'm going to order as soon as they become available. How many of you are going to order one? Apparently, it's going to happen on Wednesday. So, you know, have your mouse finger ready for the announcement because you can almost be absolutely guaranteed they're going to sell out of these things fast when they make them available. I don't know what the price is going to be, but we know that they're going to be competing against the Apple TV, the Roku. So really, I've got a vested interest in seeing where this goes, and I'm hoping, got my fingers crossed, that this thing is Android-based enough that our app, our tech podcast app, will run on the Amazon box. I'm hoping it will just immediately kind of be in the store and will be available to rock and roll. Well, time will tell. We've got it in the Amazon store now. We'll just see what happens with this, but we'll be testing it as soon as we get our hands on one of the devices for sure. It'd be kind of cool to say whatever the Amazon box is going to be called, then we can add that to our list of devices you can watch or listen to the show. All right, let's switch gears here. A little science. A surprise discovery of 2 rings around a distant asteroid. Observations in a have basically found 2 dense and narrow rings around an asteroid called Charkalo, C-H-R-I-K-L-O. And this is the smallest object by far found to have rings, and only the 5th body in the solar system after the much larger planets Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune to have this feature. They're pretty freaked out about this, but they feel it may be the result of a collision that created a disk of debris. And so this is pretty exciting stuff. Scientists will be checking in on this some more, so we'll keep you advised on that as time goes on. The SpaceX Dragon spacecraft launch was delayed by ground radar outage. So I think they're going to, when are they going to try again? They're going to push the no earlier than April 10th. So the launch was supposed to happen yesterday. So we'll keep you advised on that. A ground radar outage. It's pretty important stuff. Mars-bound comet. If you didn't know this, later this year, a comet is going to have a close grazing call with Mars, about 84,000 miles above the surface, so it should be pretty spectacular. But new Hubble observations, along with other recent images of the comet sighting spring, basically are showing that this thing's got like 2 tails, a split tail. So there's lots of Hubble photos up and available. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. The astronauts and cosmonauts that were heading to the International Space Station, they missed making their 5-hour rendezvous, something to do with some sort of burn that didn't happen. But they did dock at the ISS this afternoon or this evening, and it looks like they're on board and moving forward with the science activities, probably sleeping after being cramped up in that Soyuz for 3 days. There's a pretty cool article on Slashdot, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's a bunch of people asking John McAfee questions, and it's a question-response thing right on Slashdot. Have that up for you to take a peek at. You know, sometimes we're just shocked at the stupidity that's going on the internet. eBay Japan created passwords for accounts based on a combination of usernames plus a static salt. So what that really means is it allows anyone with knowledge of it to access any account. The salt, which should have been random, was a combination of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So, you know, this is just, you know, it's just really incredible. It really, really is. And he just makes you go, because a lot of people don't change your default passwords. If you know the right combination, you can get into someone's account. Pretty crazy stuff. There's a lot of, yesterday my phone rang and I have a, let me see if I can hold it up and not have it scammed here. I have a United Chase Visa card. And this is my fourth card in a year, fourth replacement card, because yesterday morning someone charged $6.17 someplace in Florida with my previous card. Fraud alert was triggered, and they canceled the old card and, believe it or not, got me a UPS new card that came in this afternoon. So, you know, I was already upset because it was my fourth card in a year and a fourth breach. And, you know, that's, I use this card pretty exclusively everywhere I go. So it's, I guess it's not surprising, but my wife has a Chase card, separate account, under her own name. And this morning, she gets a fraud alert. So within 24 hours, we've had two of our primary credit cards here at the household compromised. And we're both just kind of looking at each other like, I think hers was a $40 charge someplace. They didn't get very much. Between the two of us, they got $46. But they had to UPS her a new card tomorrow. And all the stuff you have to go through, because I pay every, because it's a point card and I get to claim the miles. I pay everything with it. I pay my electric bill. I pay my water bill. I pay for a pack of gum. I pay it with my credit card because I get points. And I pay it off every month and get one bill. And it's just, you know, it's going to my banking system and I am able to issue, you know, one payment. Or actually two, one for mine and one for my wife. But now I just got to go through now and change all those stuff. But next year, there's going to be some changes. We've talked about this a little bit, but MasterCard and Visa want all U.S. retailers to sell payment terminals capable of accepting the EuroPay MasterCard Visa EMV smart cards. And if they don't, they're going to face increased liability when a card is hacked. Basically, you have to use a PIN every time you use your Visa card. And so we'll see where this goes. I'd rather like use my fingerprint or something like that. But then again, at some point, someone will start copying fingerprints, I'm sure. But they're going to be using, we'll all have to have PINs with our credit cards, which is going to be kind of a pain in the butt because if you carry more than one or two cards, you're going to have to remember each number separately, right? So we'll see where this goes. But EMV chip cards are coming to those of us in the United States, and maybe my wife and I won't have to have four new cards every year because some knucklehead has double swiped my card and tried to sell it for a cut. I'm glad they didn't get much on mine. The person that bought my card probably paid more for the card than they got charged for it. All right, Sprint is in talks with Dish on broadband partnership. So basically, Sprint saying it, they have satellite and we have the network. And we want to collaborate. So that is in the news. We'll see where that leads. Of course, you know, what's going on with the SoftBank thing? Google's produced a pretty cool video. It talks about how Google handles 50,000 government requests for information each year. I watched this video. They must, those poor folks that are doing this job must be run ragged. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Watch the video. It's pretty good. They did a great animation on how the whole process works when the FBI or Department of Justice or whoever gets a warrant to basically get some of your data off your account. And they basically talk about how that all works and even court proceedings and everything else. So I have the link up in the show notes you can check out. Now, this is a little bit of a health news. I don't cover this very often in the show, but I know we've got a bunch of people in the UK that listen to the podcast. Heads up. British officials report first cat to human transmission of tuberculosis. British health officials announced today that two people have developed active TB after interacting with TB infected cats. Two other humans were also infected, but the disease is not currently active. This is the first documented case of cat to human TB transmission. Now, when I was in the Navy and I was doing a lot of traveling, I became a PPD converter. And any of you know that what that means is you get that little shot under your skin, and after a couple of days, it's not supposed to show up anymore, right? That little dot. Well, mine got big and red and ugly, and I basically had to do 6 months of, and this is what happens to anyone that becomes a PPD converter. You have to do 6 months of this medicine that basically attacks the TB that you've been exposed to, and it goes after the virus in your liver and a variety of places. And it's not necessarily a bad medicine to have to take for 6 months, but it's something you have to take if you get exposed. And, you know, modern cases of TB in humans is rare. And so when they do occur, they happen for a variety of reasons. But TB does still infect humans, and it can be deadly. So if you're not getting a physical every year, please make sure you do. And when you do, when they do the skin test, pay attention to that thing. If you become a converter, take your 6 months of medicine that they're going to make you take every day. You have to go in for checks, blood checks every month. But it's just one of those dealos. But this is pretty scary. A cat to human transmission. Now, they don't say what we can do for the cats. But if this is making a jump, we could be, and this could be very, very bad epidemic type stuff. And so just be aware of it, okay? Especially those of you in the UK. And I'm sure you're hearing about this in your local newspapers. All right, Facebook is saying, now, I think someone on Facebook is smoking too much of the ganja, because Facebook is saying they're going to use satellites and drones to spread the internet. Facebook has made a contract with aerospace and communication experts from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and its Ames Research Center, and they're going to be working on them with a new connective lab project. And basically, it says, today we're sharing some ideas of the work Facebook's connective lab is doing to build drones, satellites, and lasers to deliver the internet to everyone, Facebook's chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said in a post on Facebook. I think they're getting a little punch drunk with all the cash they have. Facebook envisions a fleet of solar-powered drones, as well as low-Earth and geosynchronous satellites. Do you know how much it costs to put a satellite up? Delivering internet access to different regions of the world. Invisible infrared laser beams could allow Facebook to dramatically boost the speed of the internet connections provided by various aircraft. Facebook said on a webpage, you know how much it costs to fly an airplane? This is just like Google and their moonshot stuff. Wow. You know, that's what happens when you have so much cash, you don't know what to do with it. But you know what happens? You spend that cash and it disappears. It's gone. And guess what? If you don't spend it wisely, you're out of business. All right, there's a new NSA bill from the House Intelligence Committee aims to head off future challenges to the legality of national security letters. And everybody's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Well, not 100%. Apparently, it makes it a little easier to do some things, a little harder to do others. But in the end, it's definitely not something that's going to be completely positive for the people that are concerned about this stuff. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. But they're trying to beef up everything in this arena, and of course, trying to deal with the president's requirements as well. All right, you know, this to me is really kind of the most crazy story that we've been following for a long time about the no-fly list. God forbid you get on the no-fly list, because you, be honest with you, you're screwed if you do, because after 7 years. Only one person has been able to get off the government's no-fly list. Now, this is at least via a court order. I don't know if people have been removed because they were put on by accident and so forth. But a judge actually has basically said that this person must be removed from the government's various watch list. And this only came after a trial where the FBI agent said, hey, I checked the wrong blocks and this person shouldn't have been on the list to begin with. But the person's been on this list for a long time, since 2006. So, boy, God forbid you get on that list. You basically piss the wrong person off or say the wrong thing or become a target. You know, just imagine not being able to fly or get on trains. And, that could really impact someone in a big, big, big way. And I'm sure most of the people that are on the no-fly list are probably people that we don't want coming to this country. But there's been these weird onesies and twosies of people that you're like kind of scratch your head if the stories are as they say they are. It makes you really, really wonder a little bit. But there's definitely no due process. There's basically no recourse. The redress procedures the U.S. government provides for those who have been wrongly or mistakenly included on a watch list are, according to the ACLU, wholly inadequate. Even after people know the government has placed them on a watch list, the government's official policies refuse to confirm or deny watch list status, nor is there any meaningful way to contest one's designation as a potential terrorist to ensure that the U.S. government removes or corrects inadequate records. The result is that, according to the ACLU, innocent people can languish on the watch list indefinitely without real recourse. And, of course, no one knows the true numbers of the folks that are on the list. But it is kind of an interesting dealio there for sure. Hey, about the labor stuff that's been going on in Silicon Valley. Apparently, Apple, Google, and two other Silicon Valley companies are making progress towards settling, which is part of this lawsuit where tech workers allege that the company conspired to avoid competing for each other's employees in order to drive down wages. We do know that Disney, companies Pixar and Lucasfilms, and Intuit have already agreed to a settlement. Disney paid about $9 million and Intuit paid $11 million in the case. We'll see how much Google and Apple get whacked when this is all over. I'm expecting their bill to be much, much bigger. A MIT researcher has brought JavaScript to Google Glass and be able to implement all kinds of cool stuff with winking and different types of actions with Glass. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. The president has proposed that the private companies that have the source data would be in charge of phone records under the president's new data collection proposal. And that when the government wanted this metadata, that they would have to go through normal channels, which appear to be kind of easier for them to get through in this proposal. But they would basically get the data from the companies at the point the court order was approved. Now, one thing that's different, though, is that the administration has asked the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court for a 90-day renewal on the current phone metadata collection program. So we'll see where this leads. But the president's trying to get something through so that the phone companies hold that data. And when the government needs the data, they have to request it through typical legal means. A Japanese newspaper is repeating the persistent iPhone 6 rumors, two screen sizes, a September launch. A 4.7-inch and a 5.5-inch display is what the plan is. I can't wait for a bigger phone. I really can't. We'll see if truth is in the actual reporting that's going on when they announce. That's for sure. And I'm sure we'll see more speculation on this as we go. Imagine a light bulb that can be powered over the Ethernet. Yes, you heard me correctly. Philips new LED light bulbs are powered over the Ethernet and provide occupancy and climate info to office managers. So basically, the light bulbs are smart enough to spy on the employees and provide light at a low energy cost, and to have motion sensors and all kinds of stuff that's built into the light bulb. Talks about the temperature, tells how much energy is being burned. This is going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to checking out these connected light bulbs. There's all kinds of cool gadgets that are always coming out, and I'm always looking for stuff. And one thing I like is a very thin, non-obtrusive, hurt my Okoli. And for those of you that don't know what Okoli is, hurt my butt when I sit on my wallet. but there's a pretty cool wallet that's being made that just basically has got a clip for a credit card and a little place for an ID card and some cash and pretty thin, $40, very little material. And I like stuff like this when you're trying to stay lean and mean. But if you're like me, don't like a lot of stuff in your pockets, you definitely can check this out. I'll have, let me flip that. Show notes. Link will be in the show notes. Okie doke. All right. Article by Gizmodo. Hacked Twitter accounts can be more valuable than stolen credit cards. Right now, if your account is hacked, they can be going between $20 and $135 each. But they also, depending on the account, can be as low as 75 cents, depending on the person, how many followers, and so forth. Must be a lot of, they get a lot of results from posting stuff to people's hacked accounts. All right, Turkish court has rejected Twitter's petition. We know that Twitter's been down in Turkey. Should have talked about this earlier, but Turkish court has rejected one of two petitions for lawsuits filed by Twitter. So they're still locked out in Turkey to Twitter. Waz, and I've been using Way2Go for a while now, but Waz has basically been sued by a company in Israel, and they feel that the roadmap software that's being used by Waz was actually developed as part of the FreeMap Israel project, which was a community project to map the country, effectively robbing. So basically, they basically said, hey, you use this illegally, so they are being sued, which is an interesting development here. And if it's true, I hope they get paid. All right, can I show you guys something? All right, aerospace fans, there's been something seen in the skies above Texas, and sky watchers are always looking for UFOs and everything else, but there's a mysterious object with a mysterious shape. Most certainly what they're, guessing is a military vehicle over the skies of Amarillo, Texas on March 10th. And Aviation Week's defense expert Bill Sweetman says that this is unprecedented, but he's convinced it's a real picture. So we got some new stuff probably flying out of Area 51, I would imagine, if this is what people are seeing. You know, for many, many years, people have spotted stuff in the air that didn't quite look right. And, years later, it's come out as a new type of aircraft. I'm not surprised at all. You would think that the Department of Defense and so forth would be, keeping under wraps their latest technology. But someone got themselves a shot of this thing. Pretty hard to hide a aircraft in the daylight, especially when it's throwing out a heck of a contrail. Hey, Errol's getting ready to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will hear arguments in the case on April 22nd, and they filed some of their briefings today with the Supreme Court. The write-ups are pretty good. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. And in the most incredible, incredible story of the day, and this is going to freak some of you out a little bit, the first transparent 3D printed skull cap has been successfully implanted. You're hearing me correctly. According to the article, 3 months ago, surgeons in Holland implanted a transparent plastic skull in a woman whose skull has never stopped growing. She had a rare bone disease that was wrecking her vision and destroying her life. And basically, they took her skull cap off. Basically, they did a 3D modeling before they went into surgery, and they actually printed her a new skull cap. Now, what's really bizarre here, and I have to be pretty honest with you, this thing's clear, so you can see the brain. Yeah, I'm serious. You can see the brain from this skull cap. And I'm just kind of like weirded out just a little bit. Amazing what they've been able to do with technology. But what do they do? They mount hair to that then? Or how's that going to work? But, you know, they can look at her brain. They can take this thing off and she's going to go in the doctor's office and unpop the wig and look at her brain. Does that not weird you guys out a little bit? Why would they make it transparent, for God's sake? But that's what they're doing. You fall down, crack your head on this thing. Hey, doc, I busted my skull cap. Can you change me out here? Wow. But they're using PEKK, thermoplastic, to do a 3D printed implant. Incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible. And I thought the brain actually kind of attached to your skull. Is it loose in there? I'm not a medical doctor. Someone tell me, please, because I'm weirded out. When you see this picture, you're going to get weirded out. They're talking about now that this is going to be able to, they're going to be able to do stuff with examining the brain without ever doing any invasive surgery. You know, like, my God, how invasive is it already to replace the skull cap? That's pretty big. But that was a wowzer for me today. Oh, hey, if you get your tuition paid in North Korea, and I'm sure a lot of people are lined up wanting to go. You know, I just wonder how many foreign students they have that go to North Korea to attend a university there. I'm sure they have a great educational system. But male university students in North Korea are now required to get the same haircut as their leader, Kim Jong-un. You seen that dude's do? He looks about as an idiot as they come when it comes to his haircut. But the state-sanctioned guideline was introduced in the capital of Pyongyang about 2 weeks ago. Radio Free Asia reports it's now being rolled out across the country. Although some students have expressed reservations about getting the look, they're saying our leader's haircut is very particular and you must follow and do it or you will be killed. You got to get your hair cut, look like the fearless, like the leader. If you don't, we'll just take you out back and shoot you in the head. Oh, my God. Oh, a bunch of dorks running around in North Korea looking like idiots from that dude's haircut. You know what it really looks like? He looks like he's one of those guys that use a lot of grease in his hair. Oh, man. You just have to feel for him. You know, they're already living in a screwed up country. You know, they really are. You know, they give me a shot for saying the wrong thing. You know, and they're going to have to now wear their hair the same as that guy. Oh, my God. You know, and they're inside, they're like, why? Why me? But I guess, you know, they're probably all happy to do that, you know, for their fearless leader. And the guy belongs in the insane asylum. He really does. The whole doggone group of them. All right, that's it. I hope you're entertained today's show. I had a great time entertaining you, for sure. And let me go ahead and read this. Hey, Todd, just want to make sure. I got this from Mike Mackley. He says, hey, Todd, I wanted to just make sure you'd seen this post. This is a more accurate picture of the new relationship between Comcast and Netflix. I do appreciate that, Mike, for providing that. And also got an email from Justin saying, hey, Todd, he want to let you know the past 2 or 3 weeks, audio podcast at GNC has been heavy on the bass. It's not too bad if you listen to the podcast on computer speakers, but if you use the new Apple headsets or headphones with rich bass, it can be a bit much. So get it cranked back, and I'll try to watch out for that. So thanks, Justin, for the heads up. Also, let's hear what else. I think that's it. That's all we got tonight. So let's wrap this thing up and get done. Get everybody out of here. Thanks for being here. Hey, Spitballs in the chat room. Thanks for being here as well. But again, what do you think about that whole Netica / dying thing? Did I overreact or was I within my right to have smoke coming out of my ears? One way or another, said my piece, and maybe Netica will listen and. I mean, Dyne will listen and maybe make some changes and do some communication with their new customers. So, again, it's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy. Take care of GoDaddy because GoDaddy takes care of me. And really, they keep this show moving forward, keep the light bill paid, keep my family fed here in lovely Honolulu, Hawaii. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care. And aloha.